It's just so great to be with you here today. My name is Pastor Brian, and I'm here with my wonderful wife, Amanda. And I have a toddler. We have a toddler downstairs, Abigail. She's 2.5 years old. And we also have a baby on the way that's due in January. So we're excited to be here. And also, we have other family members here as well. So we're glad to be here and honored to be here. And I thank Pastor Bob for sharing his pulpit with me this morning. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to step into another church and to see what's going on and just to see how you guys are busy and active in this community of Independence, and just even hearing about it in the what was supposed to be a video clip. We're having some technical difficulties with the screen, from Pastor Bob about just reaching out into the community and what a great thing to be doing here. And so I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing that here in Independence. So before we continue on, before we dive into today's message, I'd like to just pause for a moment and pray for Pastor Bob and the team that's driving down to this morning, and also pray for our morning. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great church, and we thank you for a roof over our heads and a place where we can come together in a free country to worship you, our Lord and our Savior. And we just pray that you be with Pastor Bob and the team that's driving down today. And we pray that you help them to be safe. And as they build this house and as they help this this family and these people, we just pray that you be with them. May you be with all their fingers and toes. May you help them to not have any injuries. And may hammers go where they're supposed to go. And Lord, we just thank you for all the wonderful ways that you're working here at Hope, and we also thank you for Pastor Bob and his ministry as well. May you open our hearts and our minds to your holy word this morning from Hebrews 12, and may you help us to take away some things from this morning, from this passage, and may they be sticky in our minds. In your name we pray, amen. So this morning, we're going to continue on in the series of Hebrews. And we're going to be in Hebrews 12, and we're going to be in verses 1 and 2 primarily, and we'll dabble in the third one just a little bit. And as you've heard, Hebrews is a powerful letter, and it's one that has all sorts of great content in it. There's challenge, there's conviction, there is encouragement, you name it. There's a lot of material in Hebrews. And if you haven't read the book of Hebrews, I highly encourage you to do that. It's only 13 chapters, and maybe later today or this week, if you got a few, you know, maybe a pocket of time, I highly encourage you to just pull it out, read it, maybe listen to it on your smartphone, whatever it may be. It's a great letter, and it's very encouraging. And we get to talk about very cool verses in Hebrews, and I'm excited to unpack that with you this morning. So inside Hebrews, we have a message that we think, based on scholarly insight, that this was written to the Jewish community, and it was written within decades of Pentecost, and it was something that had connection points to people that either knew Jesus or were at Pentecost. This was something that was pretty fresh, and this letter was written to encourage the Jewish community and really Christians throughout the area, and not only in that particular time, but also today. And there's a lot of just different things that we can glean from this text and things that we can learn from this. And I think it's just a powerful message, and this is one that you probably have heard about from time to time. It talks about the race of the faith, and it's something that we're going to unpack and see how do we run the race of the faith. And one big thing that we can read and we can glean from Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is greater than anything. And if I had a slide, you would see how I have it broken down through the different chapters, but I'll just kind of run through them. So I appreciate your grace in listening to me explain a slide. So Jesus is greater than anything. And so in chapters 1 and 2, we have that Christ is greater than prophets and angels. In chapters 3 and 4, we read that Christ is greater than Moses and Joshua. And then in 5 through 7, chapters 5 through 7, Christ is greater than Aaron and the priesthood. And then we also read in chapters 8 through 10 that Christ's new covenant that he brought with him is better than the old covenant from the Old Testament. And then lastly, in chapters 11 through 13, which will be kind of right smack dab in the middle of that, we will be reading about how Christ and faith in Christ is greater than the law that was passed down through to Moses in the Old Testament. And so this idea of faith in Christ is greater than law is out of Hebrews 12. And what I'd like to do is invite you to encourage you or to pull out the Bibles in the pew backs. Go ahead and pull that out. We're going to be in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. We're going to read this first out of the NIV, which is what the Pew Bible is. And then I'm going to read it in a different translation to maybe spur some different thoughts. Maybe you'll hear some different words, and maybe you'll be able to connect with it in a different way. So listen to this passage as I read from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and please follow along. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What a great passage with so many different things. And if you have your own copy of the Word of God with you today, I highly encourage you to circle, underline, use different colors, Sharpie, pencil, marker, whatever you have, and just make notes of whatever stands out to you from this passage. And make sure you don't forget it. So sometimes you have to write it down. And so let's also read this from a different translation. The next one I'm going to read from is from The Message. And The Message is kind of like a paraphrase. It's not necessarily word-for-word translation, but the attempt from The Message is to convey the passage in some modern language. And modern is kind of a loose term because it was modern when the writer did that and when he translated it. But you'll notice that some words and phrases may be even outdated considering today. So modern's kind of a loosey thing. So listen to this as I read from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 from The Message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again and again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And that's kind of interesting to use adrenaline because who knows, they may not have even known about that thousands of years ago. But this scripture, this passage is meant to inspire us and to encourage us today. And there's a couple of things that we're going to take away from this, and there's going to be some principles that we're going to talk about as well and how to do this. So the first one that we're going to talk about is the pioneers and veterans cheering us on. So here we have the author is putting the spotlight on the very first verse and talking about the community of faith and those that came before us in the Christian faith, our heritage. And in the NIV, it uses the phrase surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So how about this? How about we, maybe you can give me some ideas. Maybe who are some of your favorite Bible characters? Just go ahead and give them to me. We got Jesus. Someone probably is thinking Jesus. David. Joseph. Abigail. There you go. That's my daughter's name. That's cool. What else? What are some other names that come to mind? Maybe, there you go. Daniel, Moses. Paul, all sorts of great names. These are represented in this phrase of the great cloud of witnesses. So if you were standing outside in a cornfield or something, and you look up and you saw the clouds, these clouds would be, there would just be thousands of people that have gone before us who have run the race of the Christian faith. And we would see people like Moses and Aaron and Abigail and all sorts of others up there with them. You know, and something that's interesting about that, I was thinking about this, that it's clear that in that passage that it doesn't talk about these groups or these people being up there in groups or being segregated or divided by anything, which is really cool. Everyone that has gone before us that who has been a part of our Christian heritage were united and together in the faith, and they were not divided by age, skin color, gender, personality type, or whatever. It didn't matter. We have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us up in the heavens, looking down on us to cheer us on. And if you can imagine for a minute, when you're out there in that field, you can hear them. And, you know, sometimes when things aren't going that great, just think about this idea of the cloud and just that there are people up there cheering us on. Go Brian, go Amanda, go John, go Bob. They're up there. They're cheering us on. And, you know, that's something I hadn't really thought a whole lot about until I read that passage this last week and just how cool that is that, you know, it's so easy in this life to think that we're living life just kind of based on our own skin and just who we are, maybe our family and whoever's around us. But we have a great cloud of witnesses supporting us that are behind us. They have our back, and there are thousands of them up there looking down on us today and smiling at us. And, you know, this great cloud of witnesses, if you can imagine, would be massive. It's like stadiums, you know, full of thousands of people. This isn't like, I don't know if any of you are Star Wars fans, but at the very end of Return of the Jedi, there's like Yoda and Anakin. They're like kind of looking down on people. There's only two or three. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just a couple of people. We're talking about thousands of people looking down on us, cheering us on. And so what are they encouraging us to do? They're encouraging us to live the faith and to finish strong. So what I'd like to do now is take a little poll. And I would like for you to just raise your hands if you have ever attended a running race, if you have ever been to a race or run in a race. Go ahead and raise your hand. You know, like a marathon, 5K. Yes, you can count the Olympics if you're sitting watching running on the Olympics. Yep, yep. Well, that's great. So you understand, you know, the race and running. Well, that's basically what Hebrews 12 is about running the race of the Christian faith. So several years ago, I had the opportunity. I tend to dabble in running from time to time, and recently just kind of took it back up and was so glad that I could run 2.5 miles without taking a break and losing my breath. But about 8 years ago, I did this crazy thing of running a half marathon. And for those of you who don't know, a half marathon is 13.1 miles, which is a long ways. At least it was to me. And that's only half. Like a regular marathon is like 26 miles. And we know some people, you know, back home that ran a marathon. It's like, how in the world do you do that? 26 miles on your legs. And I can't remember how long it took me to run it. Maybe 2 or 3 hours or something like that. I have to do the math, and I'm not good at math. But you know, this half marathon is this thing that I ran was really an interesting experience. And there were all sorts of things that you see when you run a race. You'll see like the starting line. You'll see, you know, the finishing line. You'll see maybe a stage, musicians. Depending upon how elaborate the race is, you may see all sorts of different things. There may be caution cones, barricades. You know, this race I ran, they had to block off streets. It was in Dallas, so there were a lot of people, and it's pretty cool, you know, running across 6 lanes of traffic and not having to worry about it because there was a policeman there, you know, stopping the traffic, which I like that. And, you know, caution cones are nice and pretty. They're nice little reflective orange. And so it was really cool that, you know, here there's this whole mass of people doing this thing together. And what a great visual for us to think about with the Christian faith. And one thing that was really unique about that race and doing that is there was one thing in particular I didn't have to worry about. And I didn't have to worry about where I was headed. I didn't have to worry about what direction I go. There were cones, and there was all sorts of, you know, different ways to indicate which way to go. And it was really pretty clear. And with this passage, that's something that Jesus offers us. And that would be a great, you know, second, you know, thing to take away from this is that Jesus has already marked the course. He has already showed us which way to go. And this idea of the race, you know, while it may be something some of us don't mind visualizing, it's a great thing to visualize, and it's a great example of what this is about. And if you can imagine, you know, a race only goes in a certain path, so like down the center aisle. And the path that Jesus basically made it was that he's at the other end. And we just run towards him and we do everything that we can to keep focused and stay on that one particular path. But as you can imagine, in races and in life, obstacles will come up. And there are different things that will get in our way. And some of these things could be like hurt, heartache, death of a loved one, maybe different addictions, divorce, suffering. There's all sorts of things. And a lot of these obstacles are things that we put there, or sometimes other people put them there. And Jesus himself doesn't put them there, but he allows them. And he does that because he knows that we're going to grow in our faith to him anytime we go through a circumstance like that. And so when we're running the race of the Christian faith and we come up on an obstacle, we're not supposed to get stuck there at the obstacle. We're to clear it. We're to jump over it, hurdle it, run around it, do whatever we can so that we're staying focused on pursuing Jesus and running around those obstacles. And it takes perseverance, and it takes a lot of other things, energy, and it takes, you know, just good old-fashioned dedication to just to do that and to have the strength and to finish strong. So inside verse 1 of Hebrews 12, there's a formula there, and it talks about a couple of different things that we can do in knowing how to run the race. And so in the NIV, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." And then it goes on into verse 2, and it says, "Run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And then a little bit later on, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus." So here we have four principles of how we can run the race to live out the Christian faith, to do it well, and to finish strong. So the very first thing that I want to talk about and spend a little bit of time on is the part where it says, throwing off everything that hinders. So when you run a race, you don't need to carry a bunch of different things. I brought this backpack up here. Now, this is something that comes in really handy if you're hiking, because you put a sleeping bag, maybe some cooking material, changes of clothes, jacket, whatever you may need. But this would look pretty silly if I put on both parts of this and I tried to run a race with my tennis shoes. This would be, you know, 40 pounds of just weight holding me down. So this is something that we need to take in consideration, keep in mind when we're running the faith of the running the race of the Christian faith, that we only need to worry about the things that are really important. And some of those things are physical and some of them are not. And one of the physical things that we have to worry about or that we would need to bring is this thing, and it's the Bible. And this is our, you know, I've heard it described in so many different ways. It's the instruction book, the how-to manual, it's the guide, it's our map, it's our everything. This is what God has given us and how to live life. So we definitely need that. That's something we definitely need to have. But we also need other things, like what we talked about or what Pastor Bob talked about last week. We need a community of believers. We need to do life and to live the Christian faith with other people. We also need prayer. We also need the Holy Spirit. We need help. And so, you know, last week, Pastor Bob talked about Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and I'm just going to read it so that it can be a reminder to us. "And let us consider how we must spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So we need a community of believers. We need help. We need to do this with other people. That's really important. The other thing is prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, there's just a small little verse with three words, and it says, "Pray without ceasing." This is something we are to do continually. We are supposed to start our days. We're supposed to finish our days. We're supposed to pray throughout the day, whether we're in our cars, whether we're driving, whether we're at work. And it should be more than just saying a blessing on the meal we're about to share. This is something that we're supposed to do, and it doesn't have to be anything that complicated. It can just be a conversation that we have with the Lord. It's like, "Thank you for my job," or "Help me get through my job," or, you know, "Give me strength to be able to do this long day because I only got 2 hours of sleep last night," or whatever it may be. These are opportunities for us to be able to dialogue and to have conversations with the Lord. And the way we do that is through prayer. And it's something that is very easy to overlook, but something also that can be really easy for us to do. The third part, the third one is John 14:26, and it's about the Holy Spirit. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said of you." Now, isn't that pretty cool? It's like God knew, and he did, before we were created, what our weaknesses were going to be. And he created this idea of the Holy Spirit to help us as we live this life. You know, we weren't necessarily blessed with the opportunity to see Christ walking in our streets and to see him heal people directly, but we were given the great comforter who he said would be better, that can help us. And it's like that small, still small voice that we hear that can guide us on. Do this, don't do that, apologize for what you said, maybe you shouldn't have done that. I mean, whatever it may be, God's guiding us every single day and every single hour through the Holy Spirit. And that is something we desperately need and we need to tune into and listen to. Now, it would be nice, you know, if you could take some other books and stuff like that. Perhaps, you know, maybe the Bible, you know, is one thing, and maybe you want some other books or other things to take. But, you know, when you're running the race, you really just need to focus on what's important, and these are the things that are important for your spiritual race. And for me, when I was running a half marathon, it was like a long sleeve shirt, maybe some shorts, maybe a little camelback with some water, and that was kind of it. And so we don't want to add on a whole bunch of other stuff to this Christian walk, this race of the faith, because sometimes it's easy to be distracted by other things. And so, you know, like for me, I have to admit, you know, we have a basement full of books, and there's all sorts of things I love to read, and lots of different stories and all sorts of things down there. It's probably a public library. I mean, it could be, but it's pretty massive. It's kind of scary. But anyway, there are, you know, probably dozens of Bibles down there. There's all sorts of books that I had to purchase for college. I didn't sell them back. I know I'm crazy, because I wanted to read them again. And then there's also books from like seminary and stuff like that, books on theology and different things. There's some great books and some great content, but if I'm reading those things more than I'm reading the Word of God, then I'm not really tuning in and running the race of faith the way that God designed it to be run. So those things are good to have, but are we reading them more than we're reading the Bible? And that's the thing we need to make sure that we're keeping in check. So that was the first one. And then for maybe some of you who like to garden or like to work with your hands, I know that season's kind of passed, but you know, the grass and shrubs and all sorts of things you can do, landscaping, maybe you'll understand this next point a little bit differently than running the race. And that is number two, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. So there's this thing that's called like a climber. It's kind of like a vine, but it's not. It could be there's all sorts of different types of climbing plants that can grow. Some of them grow horizontally, like ground cover. You probably know what ground cover is. You've seen it. Some of these things grow vertically along sides of buildings. And what's crazy about these climber plants is that they climb and consume and strangle and take over whatever they can until there's nothing else to consume. And so if you can imagine, in the Christian faith, that's what sin is. And so if we're standing, you know, getting ready to race, whether we're going to walk it first or whether we're going to run, we could very easily have some climbers wrapping us up. We could have a climber maybe wrapping up a leg or maybe wrapping up both arms or maybe even around our neck or something like that. And these climbers represent sin. And the more sin we have, the more we have that can entangle us. And that's, I think, a very interesting way, you know, to think about it. And when you're thinking about running the race, the more entangled you are, the more likely you are to not be able to move. I mean, if you've got a lot of sin that's just kind of wrapping you up, you're going to be stuck. You're going to have all these climbing, you know, like climbing, you know, plants keeping you where you are. You're stopped. You can't move forward. You can't move backwards. You can't even move sideways. And so we need to make sure that when we're living the Christian faith, that we need to deal with the sin that we go through and that we experience in our lives. We need to confess it. We need to receive correction from it. We need to pass it off. We need to get God's help to help us, give us freedom from it. And it's just very important that we recognize that in order to run the Christian run, the race, like Christ has done and is calling us to do, we have to do that without sin. The bottom line is that sin just prevents us from running the race at all. And in Romans 8:13, the Apostle Paul says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, but by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live." And so that's a great reminder of what the power of sin can do and how we need to confess it and ask God's help to remove it. So then the third one is running with perseverance. You know, races are hard. Guess what? So is life. Life is hard. And running the race of the Christian faith is hard. It's difficult. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes we get to go on kind of the mountaintop, maybe go on a mission trip or something like that. And it's like, wow, this is awesome. Everybody's singing Kumbaya and it's wonderful. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes all those people fade away. You're surrounded by other people, maybe people that don't act like they like you very much. Or there's so many different things for us to battle in this world today. And it's a very broken and damaged world. And with that become all sorts of different challenges and things to slow us down and to derail us. And so we have to remember to persevere through that, just as Christ has told us here through Hebrews, is to run with perseverance. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in the lowest points of our lives are really opportunities, and it's really hard to see that. But I've been there. There was a time in my life where it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I had no one, you know, I had no help. I had no family, no friends. I couldn't go to sleep. I was just so entangled with this problem that I was dealing with. The only thing I had was to fall on my knees and to cry out to the Lord. And that was all that was left. There was nothing else. I couldn't call anybody else. There was no website that could fix my problems. There was nothing out there. And some of us go through those things, and some of us will go through those things in the future. But these things are opportunities that allow us to grow closer to God. And in those moments, they really become sweet in the sense that when you rely and you fully acknowledge that God is the one that is over everything, and He's the only one that can help you, it really changes your faith journey, and it really changes your walk with Christ. And for those of you who have been there, you understand that, and it's important for us to help those people that when they go through those kind of situations and circumstances. But the big thing to remember with that is we cannot persevere unless we have God's help. You know, I heard, you know, maybe sometimes in pop culture you'll hear, or just even walking around in our worlds and our culture, this phrase, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. You know what? That doesn't come anywhere in Scripture. You can't find that. I mean, there's a verse, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, where Paul says, you won't be tempted more than you can handle. But there isn't any promise in there that says God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Because you know what? He's going to allow those things to happen so you will rely on Him. And that's the thing that we have to understand. We're not God. He is. And we need to rely on Him and to guide us in everything that we do. And in the process, when He comforts us, He transforms us from the inside out. And He makes us into new people. And like, you know, the potter, you know, like, you know, there's a verse in Jeremiah talking about the potter's clay and how he molds. And that's what God is always doing. That's what He's all about. And when we encounter perseverance, it's really important to make sure that we don't bail. And it's real easy to try to run and avoid and withdraw from things like that. But this is the time when we face a challenge to press into God and to ask Him for all the help that we can get to overcome those circumstances and obstacles. So then the last thing, the fourth thing, is fix our eyes on Jesus. And this is really an important part of it. Those other three, you know, they're kind of in a different category on their own. And then the fourth one is Jesus. You know, it's really easy for us to fix our eyes on something else. You know, maybe we read a book or we see a TV show. That has a different idea. We do this with diets all the time. It's like, oh, I'll try that diet, or I'll try this one, I'll try that one. And we're always just kind of roaming around looking for whatever could be the thing that could fix us. And we do that in our spiritual walks, and we do that in real life in our own worlds. But the thing that we've got to do, and the author of Hebrews is telling us here, is that needs to be Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. He's the pioneer because he was there with God when he created the whole earth and all of creation and all the animals and all the insects and all the things we maybe sometimes like and sometimes the things we don't like. And then he was also the perfecter of the faith. And he was the one that ran the race, and he ran it strong, and he was able to avoid temptation, and he lived it perfectly. Now, in the second part of verse 2, we see that Jesus' authority is affirmed, and this is why he's a good example. He endured the cross, he scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we focus on Jesus, we will not grow weary or lose heart. And the reality is, when we focus on other things, we will grow weary and we will lose heart. But the promise is here in Scripture that he gives us is that if we focus on him, we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. Jesus overcame it all. We celebrate it sometime at Easter. We always celebrate something, but Jesus overcame everything. He overcame evil. He overcame the broken, messed up, broken world that we live in. And in order to live the Christian faith and to finish strong, we have to fix our eyes on our Savior who saved us from our life and the potential death of sin and the consequences, and also fix our eyes on the Lord aspect of who he is and how he is the Lord over our lives, and may we just guide in to what he wants us to do. So in conclusion, just going to shoot straight with you that we're always supposed to be running the race. You know, some of us like to run, some of us don't. My wife hates to run. We went running once, and it didn't go that well. She didn't like running. You know, and sometimes I like doing it, sometimes I don't. You know, if I have a big meal of barbecue or something, yep, I'm not going to want to run after that. But it is something that we are all supposed to do. We're all supposed to run the race of the Christian faith. And regardless of whether we want to or not, we are called to do it. You know, and sometimes we're on track, sometimes we're in shape, sometimes we're jogging, sometimes we're walking, sometimes we're crawling, sometimes we're sprinting. We're doing all sorts of things, but we're supposed to be on that race, and we're supposed to be doing it 24/7. Rain or shine, snow or summer, whatever it may be, we're supposed to be on track 24/7, regardless of the seasons. You know, and there are some, you know, maybe here, and I've been there myself, that are struggling with the idea of the race. Maybe you left the track altogether, and maybe you've stopped. Well, guess what? God is with us either way, and he wants to use us, and he wants to use me, and he wants to use us all for his glory. And if you've left the track, just get back on. It's not hard. All you have to do is just hop back on. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in the middle point or the, you know, quarter of the way. We don't really know. I mean, we don't know how long we'll live. So whenever we get off track, we just need to get back on and run the race and do it. And there are also maybe some of you that may have just stopped completely, and you've either run out of energy or you just have become entangled with sin. Well, if you have, it's okay too. There is hope. God saves us through these things. And so whether you have a life that's just been entangled with sin, confess it. You know, go to him, ask him for his help. And maybe even talk about it with those that you trust, those that are friends, and those that you look up to, maybe family members or whatever it may be, and ask for their help. The thing that's crazy about this is that sin usually puts us into a lifestyle of secrecy. And the reality is secrets keep us sick. And what we need to do is we need to let go of those secrets, and we need to confess them to God, and we need to confess them to others when it's appropriate and get help in doing that. The reality is none of us are perfect. We all have something that we've struggled through. And what's important is our heart, and we just need to get back on path and get right with God. Because the reality is he wants to use us, and he's going to use us, regardless of what condition we are in. And it's our testimony that we get to talk about with others, and it's something that we are known for. Are we known for the love that we have for other people, the people that maybe don't look like us or don't think like us or don't talk like us? These are the things that people on the outside in the community that are looking at, and they are weighing our actions. So these are things that we need to be mindful of, and that God is always at work, and he is always working through us. So, that was a lot of stuff to process and understand and walk through, and like I said, if you haven't read Hebrews, do it. You know, chapter 12 is a great, great chapter, and I hope that you will do that. And if there's some unfinished business that you have, I just highly encourage you to deal with that today. Don't delay. Take action on it and to seek God or the community of believers to help you out. So let's pray as we wrap up today's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways that you work in our lives. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit and how it guides us and how it stirs in us. The things that we need to work on, the things that you're doing in our lives. May you just help us, dear God, today. May you help us to overcome the things that are slowing us down, these obstacles that are in our way. May you help us to know what they are. You know, sometimes we live such a busy life that we don't even know why we're not moving and why we're not living the Christian faith. May you just open up our hearts and our minds to see what those are. And may you do business with us and may you help us to work on those things through your power and by your mighty saving act of sending your one and only Son to die for our sins. We thank you so much. And it's in your wonderful Son's name, Jesus, that we pray. In his name, amen.